You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
So I'm always telling you, like, you need a community, you need friends, you need a group of people. And you're like, no, I don't. I have you.
Pretty much.
Which, when you say that, I just immediately go back to, how old am I, 32? About 10 years ago, a decade ago, when people were telling me the same exact thing. Like, you need friends, like my ex-husband, my mom. And I was just like, nah, like, he's my only friend, my ex-husband at the time. Like, he's my friend, I'm comfortable, he's safe, he's honest, he's loyal, I'm solid. Don't need anybody else. And my mom would say, well, no, you need a group of girlfriends. Like, it's important as a girl to have a group of girlfriends. And I was like, bleh, girls are drama. Now, this is a girl coming fresh out of high school. Well, middle school is really when bullying started for me. Middle school, high school, college years of bullying by girls. All girls. 90% girls. And so I just associated them with drama and negativity and being your best friend one day and then your worst enemy talking shit about you the next. And so I was like, really? I need a group of girlfriends to have these ups and downs and highs and lows and walking on eggshells. Oh, set. Like, and it's weird. There was a little piece of me that must have known, like, okay, they're not wrong, because it triggered me. I would get all explosive, like, no, I don't. I got that. I got that. Instead of just, okay, I can see your observation. I'll think about it. I got triggered. So I say that to you often. I don't think you get triggered. You're just like, no, I'm good.
I don't get triggered because I know it's not that I don't want them. Mm-hmm. It's that I am absolutely picky about who is getting my energy. Mm-hmm. And I was surrounded by friends. I was surrounded by people on my boat, going with me everywhere, fishing, doing all these things, only to find out they weren't really friends. So now in the chapter that I'm at in my life, it's like I'm going to be very, I'm open, but I'm also very aware and conscious about what I'm trying to be, and I expect the same high-level person out of who's going to be around me.
Yeah, what are those quotes that go around that say, you are the product of your five closest people that you have around you every single day?
It's true. It's true. You're not going to be exactly like them, but if you have one friend who's a cheater, one friend who's a liar, one who's just, doesn't feel emotion.
You can't start a business. Good, you don't have enough money.
And one who is like, struggles with entrepreneurship because it's a lack mindset. Like, you're literally going to be in that same scenario. It's proven fact. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're not, then you're playing the healer. And that's not what you're mm-hmm. there for. You're not there to be everybody's mother.
The people pleaser. I'm a recovering people pleaser myself.
Yeah. Yeah, same. That's I was surrounded by lots of people I thought were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your favorite time?
UPS, bring me an Amazon box.
Anyways, so I was surrounded by a lot of people who I thought were friends, only to find out they weren't. And then I told myself, like, okay, anybody who comes into my life is going to meet these high standards that I'm trying to meet myself. And if not, I'll have acquaintances, but not close friends until that tribe is here. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Do you think you'll know them when you see them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It'll be like an immediate feeling? Or do you think there will be some, like, it feels really good to be around you, but, like, do you feel like your friendship trust needs to be rebuilt?
Probably a little bit, but it's going to be through, like, it's a learning experience through people who I've allowed in not long ago that aren't bad people, they're good people, but they still have a lot of shit they have to work through, and I'm just not capable of helping them through it. So, are they friends? Yeah, kinda. But are they the close, tight-knit group that I am trying to attract? No.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have an interesting story with friends, because you grew up with a lot of friends. I don't think you experienced bullying or anything like that throughout your school years. But you had friends, right?
Yeah.
Solid group of friends. And you kind of lost all of them in one freak accident almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they all went bye-bye when I realized their true colors. Whenever I talk about it all the time, whenever I cheated on my ex-wife, and then I didn't have a single person. I didn't expect them to.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have a single person either just stay silent or come to me and say, like, hey, dude, What are you going through? What can I help you with? What you're doing is wrong, but I want to be here for you. I didn't have any of that. I had everyone texting me, blowing me up. I was a piece of shit. How could I do this? Don't ever come around again. Like, so basically I got bullied by people that I thought were my friends and close friends after that whole ordeal with my ex-wife.
That's traumatizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it made me look at, like, it made me, like, look back over the whole relationship and realize, like, oh, well, some of them just used me to go on the boat. Some of them just used me to go to the coast house. Some of them just used me because I would pay for dinner.
How did you know that? How did you come to that conclusion?
By looking back at things like me inviting people places but not getting invited places. By realizing that whenever we were all together hanging out, that we weren't all really together hanging out. It was, if I went somewhere to meet up with them, it was almost like them and their group and kind of me, like almost like an outside person, but at the event. But if they were with me and I was like, hey, let's go to the lake, and they were on the boat, they were up my ass. So, yeah, their actions spoke pretty loud.
They wouldn't, like, throw you gas money for the boat or bring drinks and snacks.
Or stay and help clean, no.
Thanks, peace.
Yeah.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure in the moment when you were getting bullied by these people, you didn't think, well, I don't want to be their friend anyway. Your heart probably sank. Like, these are the people I grew up with. Like, why are they, why is, like, I know I just did something wrong, but, you know, we say this in our house, our family, that when the boys are our children, if they ever do something like that, we're not going to say, how could you? We didn't raise you that way. We're going to sit them down and say, okay, this is not cool. This is not good, but let's talk about how you feel. Like, let's sit down over a cocktail and draw the lines connecting the dots to what got you to this spot. Whether it's addiction, whether it's cheating, whatever it may be, we're never going to ostracize them for things like that because people are not happy when they do things like that. So that's a whole other podcast episode. But that's a pretty traumatizing history of friends. And then aside from that, you were always working.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really had time, like carved out time for friendship.
No, like a lot of the friendships ended up becoming work-related friends kind of thing. Just because
work,
that's
family.
For most of my...
Yeah, when you go home, they're gone. Yeah. No texts or calls.
Yeah, like the one guy that I had that was, at the time, called a friend, and when we were doing all of our work in Naples, turned out the same. He was just a very egotistical, rich asshole. Yeah.
I must have left you feeling like, are there any authentic people in the world? Well, hey, we became friends like in the midst of your crisis. It's almost like the moment we met was when, well, no.
Well,
when
that's
did
why
everybody stop texting you those awful things?
We met probably a month after. Well, we met and then probably like 3 or 4 months after we met is whenever that it all kind of stopped, because that's whenever I stopped the homegirl saga.
Yeah, yeah.
So when that stopped, it's like everybody kind of stopped their shit. But
we became friends in the midst of that hurricane. Yeah. And so were you ever hesitant towards me? Like, oh, this girl's fake. She's like...
No, because I trust. I act like I don't, but I still trust people. I mean, look at the most recent, right? So I allowed somebody into my life, trusted them, only to find out, like, damn it. Like, close but no cigar kind of thing. Yeah,
that's okay.
But no, that's why I say you're the right now. I'm perfectly fine having you as my bestest and only tight friend.
Yeah.
And there's some other people that are working their way in. And I don't want to sound like an ass, like, oh, you have to work your way in to be my friend, but you do. Like, and I hope it's the same for me with anybody else. Like, I don't want anybody just to be like, oh, you're my best friend. I want my actions and my words to earn your trust and your respect and your love.
Let's just share with the audience your birth chart. He's a Virgo, Scorpio moon, Cancer rising. So
so my Cancer wants to let everybody in and just wants hugs. But
the
then my
Libras
Scorpio.
Are the ones that are like, everyone's my best friend, I love you. What's my last name? I don't know yet, you're my best friend.
Yeah. My Scorpio says, I've been burned in the past, and you're going to burn me. And my Virgo literally, I have Virgo everything.
Oh yeah.
Else, so my Virgo is.
Virgos
like,
are picky as hell with their friends because they're like, first they want to refine all their friends and in the name of helping them be their best selves because they just want to help. But then as soon as someone doesn't take that Virgo's advice and just keeps eating shittier, keeps going back to the shitty partner, they're like, I don't have time for you. Goodbye.
It's true because I look at myself and. Although, like, I haven't always done everything, like, immediate. Like, oh, realize something change. It doesn't take me long. Like, too long.
Mm-hmm. And then your Cancer rising is ruled by the crab. So you got hurt, and you are in your shell. And you are not coming out unless somebody knocks, says they're okay. Knocks again, says you can trust me. Knocks one more time, and then you might crawl out a little bit if you can trust them.
If they have the secret passcode that I didn't even tell them.
Yes. That I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're also a very sensitive, intuitive empath, just like me, just like everyone, really. I want to remind you guys that everyone is born an empath. Everyone is born hypersensitive. We just lose these qualities dependent upon what family we were born into, the society and the community we were raised around. They either nurture these feelings and these abilities, or they squash them. And the vast majority of us get squashed.
I think... You're definitely, there's people out there like you who are a lot more in tune with like being able to pick up on like the intuition part of it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really good at seeing and hearing things and like putting together what I feel like is like, you know, the morals and ethics and the integrity and all this thing. So I can like, you feel and I see and hear.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely feel a lot deeper than me.
I know right off the bat from even watching somebody walk up to me, if they are someone my super sensitive self will be okay with rocking being best friends, like talking to every day. Is it going to be a mutual energetic exchange? It's a gift and a curse almost because I have two very close girlfriends who I'm going to be loyal to till the end because they are to me and there's always going to be room for more, but it's hard. It's hard. And this is what the episode I wanted to talk about just briefly is empaths and making friends or just making friends in your late 20s and 30s. It can be a really lonely path for a lot of us who are awakening right now. It's scary because we either lose our tribe or our old tribe, our old group of friends like you did through like a sudden event, wildfire that just burned everybody down. Or it's like me. I consciously chose to push everyone away because while I was alone, that doesn't mean there was nobody always knocking at my door. I have lots of people like, let's go hang out. Hey girl, just met you in yoga class. You want to go grab a coffee? I'd be like, Jesus, busy. Can't. It's late at night. You have to. Yeah. I have kids. I've got two kids, twins at home.
Diarrhea. You never lose anything that's actually meant for you though. Mm-hmm. Friends, family, very lovers. True. Like you don't lose anything that's actually meant for you. Even if you push it away in the moment, if it's meant for you, it's gonna come back.
I mean, how do you make friends at this age? You're 33 and 32. There's a lot of spiritual people. We spiritually grow daily, just like the people listening to this. You change and morph and evolve so fast, especially in today's day and age. It's like, how can I find my people? I mean, I coach these people every single day. Here in 30 minutes, I'm going to have another conversation, guarantee, just like this, especially looking at this girl's chart. We get lonely because we're like, I wish that I had friends that I could text, hey, I'm coming over. We're having a full moon circle tonight. We're going to write down things we want to let go and manifest. Like so many people listening to this are like, are there people like that out there? Do they exist?
Yeah. So I know for me, there's a lot of things I'm not good at, but one of the things I am okay at is like being able to sit in loneliness and not just allow somebody that I don't feel like is meant to be in my circle in because mm-hmm. I'm lonely. But then there's like an opposite effect to that where could I be blocking it sometimes? Yes. But it's kind of like we talked about finding like people always ask like romantic partners. They never really ask friends. They ask like, how do I find my romantic partner? How do I find my soulmate? And we always say like, go do the things that you love doing. So I guarantee you if I go hike and bike or go to a dog park or open up the coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
doing those things that I love is going to attract similar
like-minded people.
And then with those abundance of people, then it's my, I have the ability to filter through and say, oh, hey, that dude Justin, out of all 100 people I met today, that dude Justin had really good ethics and morals and dope conversation. Like, I'm going to hit him up. Let's go on a hike.
Yeah.
Like,
we did meet a really cool guy. We were just so...
I know. I wish I'd have got his number.
We went on this awesome long hike to a waterfall, and we were all just so enthralled by it and exhausted because it was a long hike. But we met this cool dude, and I don't remember his name. Shame.
Brett.
Yeah, good memory. But as soon as we left, we were like, oh, I wish we got his number. Like, he could have hung out with us. He had a brain injury.
Snowboarding?
From snowboarding accident here in Colorado, and it prevented him from having a good memory. So he was afraid. He finally made it to this waterfall after trying multiple times.
It was a long hike.
He would just get lost. He would get lost and didn't want to. Getting lost out here in this Colorado wilderness is no joke. So he finally made it, though, and I just remember thinking, man, I wish we could go with him because he has the poor sense of memory. I have the adrenal fatigue. You could be our captain.
The way that I looked at it is I notice people that, like him, I'm around you a lot, right? So I see, especially men, I get to have the outside perspective of this man who is talking to you has like another objective. But then I also get to see the beautiful moments like that where I see a man talking to you and communicating with you. And it's such an authentic, like, feeling and conversation. And it's like, wow, this person has no ulterior motives for anything other than just, like, vibing. That's it.
Yep.
So whenever I was in a distance and I saw you and him talking, I was like, wow, dude came straight up to me, shook my hand. He did all the things that align with, like, my morals. And then had a convo with you. And then just the way he carried himself, I was like, yeah, I could be friends with that dude.
Yeah,
for sure.
He was really cool. You know what I love about my intuitive, empathic friends that I'll just share? Paulina, I met her at a dog park. Well, yeah. Not even. I woke up at like 7 a.m. or 6 a.m., started walking Jeffrey at 7 a.m., downtown Denver, super cold January, snowy morning, and nobody was out. I don't know why I was even up that early. Who knows what I was doing? But I walked out there, and I heard someone scream, like a scared, uh-oh, I need to go look at this scream. So I ran around the corner with Jeffrey, and she was trying to get her dog out of oncoming traffic. And I thought, oh, shit, like, that's the cutest little golden retriever puppy. She is looking terrified. I was just like, Jeffrey, let's go. I think he even dropped his leash and was like, just chase me, buddy. So I went over there and we got Kansas. That's her dog out. And then we went to the field and I was like, are you okay? And she was just like, oh man, that was so close. That would have been terrible. I just got this dog. Da, 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 da. And then I'll never forget the moment we clicked, like imprinted on each other. I think it was her. She goes, are you a Sagittarius? And I was like, are you an Aquarius? And we were like, the way just my grandma's.
Yep.
Yep. And then it was so cool because she was really the first one, aside from Sarah, who was many years prior, but she was the first one that was like, do you want to come over and we can make tea or coffee and just talk about astrology? And I was like, oh, yes, I do.
Yeah.
And then I just hung out in her apartment every day. And that was 2018, fresh on the new year. And we do cool things like when there's a full moon. She'll be like, come on, let's go. We're going to the dog park at midnight, and we're going to throw rocks into the full moon, and as we do, we're going to scream things we want to release. I'm like, what? You exist? Like, my New Hampshire upbringing in high school and college days, nobody was like that soulful and fun and quirky. And
so you realize those things, and I didn't get to see Elle's relationship like that long ago, but I've got to see it kind of firsthand for 2 years, kind of, yeah. And my Virgo, everything looks at the reality of like, wow, she was really there for you in some dark shit.
Wait, I'm crying. Every time I think of her, I get tears in my eyes.
She was there for you and literally picked you up in moments, physically picked you up, and then took care of you and nurtured you when nobody else was. And it's like, wow. So those are the kind of things that I'm like, well, people can be acquaintances. And I'm giving you, just like I'm hope you're giving me, the opportunity to grow into a friendship. But there's certain things that got to take place. And things like her doing that just show like a deeper level of commitment. So,
yeah. And I've shared some of my deepest secrets with her, like through shaking voice and shaking hands, expecting her to be like, you're fucked up. Like, get out of here. But she was just like, so what? What about it? You're scared to tell me what? That does nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, what? I mean, that's how we kind of imprinted, or I imprinted on you, is because mm-hmm. you were the first person I told my twin flame story to, and I was expecting you to be like, you're an ass. Like, how could you lie to people? How could you do that? But you were just like, oh, wow, I wonder if, da-da-da-da, have you ever thought of it about this way? Da-da-da. It's like, you don't think I'm a shitty scumbag?
No, that's a sign of a really good friend, is somebody who accepts what you've done, but doesn't accept you doing that again. And it's like, I'll be here to help guide you so you don't make more mistakes, even though you're going to, but I'll be here for them. But with me, it's like, let's work on not making the same mistake over and over and over.
Okay, Virgo.
Yeah.
Even though I have friends that do that, I still, it's weird. I don't even know how to explain this podcast, but there's friends in air quotations that when you give them advice and they make the same mistake and you're like, okay, I get it. We're all on our own path. And then you give them the same advice and even better and spend more time. And then they go back and do it. There's a certain point where you're like, okay, I love you. I'll be here for you, but like no more. Don't come to me with this stuff. You're now draining me.
Yeah.
You're sucking me dry.
But a friend also realizes that. A friend will also realize, like a true friend that I believe is true to me, will realize like, hey, yo, sorry I'm coming to you with like the same shit over and over. I can't fix my shit. And
what do you think of this?
Yeah, I'm gonna try and refrain from putting all the same shit on you while I work through it. But if I don't, I'm trying.
Yeah.
So.
Well, with me, it's odd. Sarah and Paulina, like, they could do no harm. They could tell me, fuck off, I'm not talking to you again. I'll be like, I love you. I'll be here when you come back. Yeah. It's weird. Whereas if anybody else would just keep repeating mistakes or things after I've advised them not to or given them good advice, whatever, I'd be like, okay, like, I'm just not going to answer your messages anymore because I'm tired and I'm drained. But with them, it's so unique and different.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I met Sarah. You guys know Sarah. I tag her and she just sent me happy mail and I posted it on my story. She's been on the podcast. She is a literal rainbow aura.
She's more of an...
You've met her in person. Oh, she's a walking unicorn. It's the most bizarre energy I've ever seen. But I met her online. We were friends online for 5 years. Matt, you and I were friends online for like a year. Sarah, multiply that by five and then meet each other. It was so cool. But I met her because I had a blog called Free Spirit Fun where I just journaled throughout my 20s about my adventures and spirituality and self-development. And she was like my only fan for the whole time. She even got my blog logo tattooed.
I was
going to
say she is literally the OSG.
Yes.
Of anybody.
Of Lightworkers Lounge because that was a conduit of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That girl's my sister. We even look the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's how I found my people. And I've found some wonderful acquaintances that, I mean, maybe they haven't graduated to the Sarah Paulina level yet, but some wonderful people while taking Deborah's astrology class. Mm-hmm. I found awesome people doing women's full moon circles, yoga classes. I can only imagine if I went to a retreat or even hosted one of my own.
Yeah, everybody's on their... I think that's where spirituality gets sticky sometimes is because everyone's on their own path. You could listen to this and say, Baby J, you are wrong. Nobody should have to earn my friendship that way. That's just me. This is my experience with my conditionings and my life path and the way that I'm doing things. And it makes me happy to know that I want to earn your friendship. I want you to earn mine. You could be somebody that just allows everyone in and then kind of filters through who's best for you and who's not and who's done that. So I guess there's really no wrong answer as long as you're not letting people drain you and constantly hurt you.
That's an issue that I have. And what do you think of this? So, I mean, you live with me, you watch me all the time. I talk to everyone like they're my first cousin. I know no strangers and I can get people talking. I can open them up. It's just who I am. Mm-hmm. And so then these people automatically assume, wow, here's this girl who's really interested in what I have to say.
And you are.
These are, I truly am. I love the human experience. This is all material for my podcast and my own life. But then they'll show up at the house like, do you want to come over for dinner? Can I hang out with you? Can I just come in? Can you read my birth chart? And it's like, okay, wait, how do I, is it my fault that I get myself in a pickle of I genuinely love and I'm enthralled and really deep in conversation with someone I don't even know their first name. But then they see that as like, wow, this could be my new best friend. But it's always a one-way street. Have you noticed when you watch me in these that they don't ask about me? They don't even know what I do for a living. Yeah. They have no idea about Lightworkers Lounge. So if I were to say, oh, hi, thanks for stopping by. Yeah, sure. Come on in for dinner. They do that because they know that I'm going to ask them lots of questions. And everybody loves to talk about themselves. Look at me on a rant right now.
Yeah. But everyone's attracted to the light.
Yeah. So it's like I want to go to people's houses for dinner. I want to invite them over. But then when they leave, I need a little time away from you. I just want to grab Jeffrey and go take a bath with the door closed. And
those are also friends. Those are friends realize when you set boundaries that you're not being an asshole. So like there's another telltale sign of a friend. If you can hang out with somebody and they're just like goo goo gaga over you. And then you're like, hey, I know you're excited. I know like this friendship's going pretty fast, but I need a break from you, from everything. And it's not that I don't like you. I just
that's a hard need my space. To have.
That could trigger the fuck out of people. Well, they could trigger them. But if it triggers them and then they act shitty on it, then I don't think they were meant to be a close friend maybe yet or
and
at
I
all.
I think if you're afraid to even have that conversation, is it really an authentic friendship?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Because that's where I find myself in so many instances.
People just
want to hang out because they enjoy my energy. And it's like, I don't do it. I fucking love being alone. That's my human design. That's why I always ask you, like, come on, you need, because your human design is kitchens.
Yeah.
Kitchens and environment and human design is they want to be surrounded by people 24/7.
I want to be surrounded by people and have a kitchen, right? Like this big group of people. But I know for a fact the way that I'm wired is I don't want to have all those people be my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not capable of like handling more than like maybe three close people's like stuff with them because everyone has their own shit, right? So like I know I'm rooted enough in knowing that where I'm at today, I love being in a group of people, but I know that I'm only capable of handling a few close friends' energy, good or bad.
I do, and this just like suddenly downloaded into my brain. I do want to add to this that it is not healthy for your romantic partner to be your only friend. That was a huge mistake I made in my past marriage, is that we were each other's everything. Because when you become your partner's only friend, you become their therapist, their nurse, their chef, their counselor, their spiritual coach, their business coach, their life. And then that zaps the romance out of it. And it's pretty hard to return back to romance, back to what you loved about this person. With that said, I can see you like a horse out of the gate over there. With that said, if you are in that predicament, like kind of like yours, where it's like, you're my only friend right now, for now, you still have your own hobbies.
Yeah.
So we're not attached at the hip all day because you want to go for a bike ride. You want to go to the gym.
And I have people that are close to being like really good friends.
Not as good as me.
No, they'll never be. But I have people that are acquaintances right now that I have kind of in my little inner circle that are slowly working their way to being that, you know, title of close friends. But like, yeah, I have you can only do it if you still have your own individuality. Like you said, like, you're my only best friend. Mm. But at the same time, like, I love doing shit without you. I like going to the gym.
Yeah.
I like going on my bike ride. I like sitting at my iPad and just zoning out and doing my own thing.
Yeah.
So
we both do. We both love our individuality and our own hobbies. I just love being alone, point blank period.
Yeah, I'm way more Cancer than you. Like, I like to just lay and hold you sometimes, and you're way more Sag and Scorpio. But if you were very much more of a like a Cancer rising like me, then we could lose ourselves in each other because
codependency.
It would just be this massive like codependency.
Yeah. No, it's sexy when your partner has their own hobbies or like, I know that there will be a slight grieving period when you do have friends that are, you're pretty much, I know that our friendship, we like to say shade. Our friendship is like tie-dye because we have all the colors.
I will tell you on air, there will never be a friend like you.
I know.
And I will always, I have this thing where I can easily disassociate from other things when it comes to the things I love. So I could have a best friend right now say, hey, let's go hike and let's do this. But if I really want to spend time with you and I can feel that you want to spend time with me, it's easy for me to be like, no, I'm good. Go by yourself.
You would never say that to me if I asked to go hiking.
No, not you. But everybody else outside of you.
We do. We bonded over so many things, over both going through a divorce, both...
Are we trauma bonded?
How would you know? I think I was trauma bonded to my ex-husband. I was trauma bonded to him because he represented a safe male figure. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't stir the pot ever. He didn't stir anything. That's why we just got stale and crumbled. But I represented the mother he never had, the mm-hmm. nurturing he never had, the love he never had. So, oh yeah, we were just like the infinity symbol, just sucking each other dry back and forth. And it was never built upon friendship or passion or romance.
Same with me. I got to play dad and have all the responsibility and control because I never had control in my life. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I don't think we are.
No, we're not.
I don't think we are because if we were to split up, there would definitely be Scorpio grieving. Mm-hmm. But, like, we wouldn't lose ourselves. We wouldn't, like, mm-mm. gain weight or lose too much weight. Our businesses wouldn't really crumble. Mm-mm.
No, I literally think if for some stupid...
I think that's the sign of a trauma bond is when... Sorry to cut you off. Yeah. Is when you break up with someone and... Whichever partner loses their health, mm-hmm. doesn't date, doesn't have like somebody new within 1 to 5 years.
A healthy
partnership. I think there you go. There's the sign of who was trauma bonded the most.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trauma bond. No, we're really based off of authentic friendship because we talked about who we were dating. We talked about, I would tell you about the really shitty, awful dating situation I was in. And then you would joke like, my Corvette, I'm going to go to fucking Wednesday night thing in Midland. I was like, stop. I would openly tell you, you're attracting the wrong women. Like, you deserve someone much more better than some chick with fake boobies that wants you for your Corvette. Yeah. You were like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. I definitely did.
That's the level of friendship that we were on.
Yeah. Talk with, if you have a female or a male friend right now that you are like falling in love with, start talking about what penis and vaginas they both inserted in and then see if you're really friends. Oh man,
we should really, really record what we really, really talk
about. That triggers people.
I forget like how open we are with each other until I'm with another couple and we talk about our past sex lives with vivid detail, and it doesn't trigger either of us. No. We actually make jokes.
Yeah. Maybe that's our way of coping.
Maybe, probably. But we do, and I don't know. Yeah, I really do think that it's from being friends for almost a year.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
Yeah, with no expectation of anything other than friends, which is hard for people to do now because everybody wants a relationship. Everybody mm-hmm. wants something to fulfill something. So
yeah, I really think that's the key to finding friends. Like, let's take the romantic side out of this. Just finding friends is don't go looking for them. Yeah. Go looking for yourself, which is by doing things you love. Whether you have to go to retreats alone, whether you have to grab your yoga mat and go to a class alone.
Yeah,
go alone.
Yeah, and it's kind of like us. Like, don't go with the thought of like, okay, I'm going to yoga today. I'm going to mm-hmm. find my friend. No, you're going to yoga today because you want to go to yoga today. You're going to take your dog to the dog park because you want to take him to the dog park.
You love your dog, and that's your friend.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I agree. That's how you find any connection, romantic or platonic.
It's just hard. It's hard, though, because in this spiritual world that continues to, like, grow and grow, like, Christianity used to be so huge, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like spirituality is ginormous, and you have so many people giving advice, but you got to remember that. And I love that Ben said this the other day, and Ben is somebody that is in my inner circle right now, that he said every single thing, action or word somebody does or speaks on is based on their conditioning.
Yeah.
So even us right now, like, we're just giving you our opinion on our conditioning and what we think and works best for us. Doesn't mean it's for you, but you look at this spirituality world that's like getting really, really big, and you have so many people giving advice based on so many conditionings. And then you have to, like, mm-hmm. filter through well, who really has integrity? Yeah. And who really has honesty?
Who's using spiritual bypassing?
Yeah, who's bypassing? Like, I don't know.
And then sometimes you find spiritual friends who are, how do I say this, too spiritual.
So they're like, just deep.
Okay, listen, I've gone through my dark night of the soul twice. Yeah. I've also been through my first Saturn return. So, like, just, like, you don't understand what you're saying. This is gaslighting, actually, if now that I think about it. There are people like that. You've encountered one of them. And I was like, no, homie, there is no levels. There is no, I'm more spiritually advanced than you. If someone says that, run.
No, just, yeah, like, I know people listening to this put you on a pedestal. I know they do. Because you've been through a lot and you're very, you are very, like, advanced in your journey. But again, it's your journey. Bah. Like, this is Steph Power's journey, and she just happens to let everyone hear it. But, like, you have your own. So, like, whenever that person told me, like, well, I've been spiritually growing for 2 years and you're just starting. So, like, yeah, I've been to Bali. I've splashed the water in my face and drank from the holy river. Like, so when she said that, I was like, oh shit. Like, she gaslighted me because I was like, oh wow, you're right. So I'm going to listen to everything you're saying because you're ahead of me, but there is no ahead of anything.
No.
My peaks and valleys could be very smooth and easy, and hers could be 14,000 feet incline and 20,000 feet down to a valley. Like, there's no... So I guess when somebody, that's the whole point, is like when somebody tries to say, if it ever comes out of their mouth, things like, well, I'm a little more advanced than you, or I've been growing longer than you, or like those kind of things.
Red flag.
Red flag, not authentic, go the opposite direction and do your thing.
Yeah, that perfectly ties into the episode I released about a month ago about how to choose the right astrologers.
Yeah.
How to choose the right friends. They don't say things like that. You can have these open conversations with them. Me and Paulina have them daily. Like, what do you think of Young Pueblo's latest quote? Well, this is what I think. Well, I disagree. I think this. And it's like, okay, I see your side. I see it. That's cool. It's just always so easy. It's effortless. And I know if you're listening to this, like I was when I was 22, you're like, yeah, fucking right. These people do exist. My best friends, when I'm with them, we have such open dialogue that one of us can say, hey, the old empath batteries are a little low right now because I'm so excited to see you. We've done so many cool things today. I'm going to go in my bedroom, close the door, read a book, or take a nap, just put my headphones on and recharge. Or, hey, I'm going to leave early because I'm just feeling a little energetically low tonight. And we get it, and we're like, oh, homie, like, I fully understand because I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So I love you. I'll be a call away if you need me.
Yeah, I didn't. Some of that stuff I didn't learn until recently. Like when we were in Sedona, Steve and I had our moment. And then afterward, he was like, how come you didn't just tell me you needed a break from me?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, A, it felt unbelievably awkward. B, I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And C, I've never been able to have conversations like that with somebody who was a friend, essentially.
If you were to have said that to a friend back in Texas,
yeah,
what would they have reacted with?
Oh, it probably would have been a fist fight. Who knows?
A fist fight.
Like, Texans want barbecue and fist fighting no matter what. Ugh. So... But a lot of these things that I'm talking about right now, like I'm learning along the way. I just learned some of this a year ago or less. Yeah. So
many of us come from families too, where we just were oppressed and we weren't able to speak our truth, say how we really feel. We couldn't tell our dads that we were uncomfortable around them when they drank. We couldn't tell our moms, like, you didn't nurture me enough, or I didn't feel like you listened, like truly listened to what I said enough. And that bleeds over into our friendships and our romantic relationships, where we are afraid to rock the boat. So we just people please. I know you guys listening have it. You go hang out with friends, and when you get home, you're like, oh, you just take your clothes off, get in the bath, put pajamas on, cuddle your pets, read a book, and you're like, oh, I feel so much better. But you're exhausted. I have found one of the physical symptoms how I know I am not supposed to be with this person is I yawn. I yawn and yawn. I could meet someone for coffee and have 4 shots of espresso and a latte, and I will yawn and yawn.
I guess I'm not supposed to be around anybody because I yawn around everyone.
That's just my physical cue of, goo, we are getting drained. So I either need to focus on my breath, and then when I get home, really mentally evaluate what that person brings to me. Is it a two-way energetic street? You know, just this morning, Paulina was like, I've been talking too much about me. What's new with you? What's going on over there? Tell me everything. Tell me what you ate for breakfast. Like, what is going on with you? I've been talking too much. So there are friends that have that self-awareness, that realize these things. And I don't know where the idea for this podcast episode came from. It was just, I know so many people are desperate for friends and connection. We're in this day and age where we all want to leave the city and move to the country and start these little tiny home communities, so to speak, and barter with each other and just take care of each other.
Yeah.
And people feel so overwhelmed. Like, are you kidding me? I live in the city and I've never been lonelier. How am I supposed to find my friends?
Yeah. Well, spirituality, I mean, this is a spiritual podcast. Spirituality today has started to turn into, we are all peace, love, and light, and we should all be friends. And that is the case, but there's a lot of people who have qualities that you shouldn't accept in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And like one for me that is like a solid no-no, and I will not speak to them again, is if they badmouth and talk really bad about people when people aren't around. Mm-hmm. And if they just have like this, because so many people grow up that way, like just talking about negative things over and over and over, and what people have constantly done to them, or F this person, or I don't like that.
Yeah.
And those aren't the people that I want around me.
No,
so.
Because again, those people have, especially me with my position in Lightworkers Lounge and my online platform, I have to be really careful with who I associate with, because what they do is associated with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the prime example, you know this story, is I was friends with someone, we were at a softball game, and she mm-hmm. thought one of the guys playing was super cute, so hot, and she was like, Steph, ask around, see if you can find out what his name is. I got to talk, this guy is so hot.
Yeah.
And we did, and it turns out his pregnant fiance was right in the stand. So I remember looking at her being like, ah, bummer, too bad, like, next one. But she was like, no. I was like, he's got the cutest little pregnant fiance. And she's like, you think that's going to stop me?
Yep.
And I was like, ha ha, like, you're joking.
Nope.
She was not kidding one bit. And that is the moment I was like, oh, no, this, nope.
Mm-mm.
I do.
And that's okay.
Choking on my words. I will not be, that's not okay.
No, that's okay for you to like, that's okay for you to walk away from something like that. Like,
yeah.
It's not your job to try and fix
yep.
that person.
Right, because I would be associated with that. And,
yeah.
you know, we always say, like, in relationships, think about it. There's never a couple where it's super rare. I shouldn't say never. It's a strong word. But there's very rarely a couple, romantic couple, where one is super fit, gym every day, loves to hike 14-footers, and then the other one is morbid obese.
Yeah.
Eats fast food every day, doesn't care about their physical body, has emotional issues. You really don't see them.
Unless it's a toxic relationship.
Unless there is something
yeah.
loose.
But then yeah. again, it's not an authentic friendship.
So what I would, yeah, exactly. That was my layup into saying, like, I couldn't be friends with someone like that and invite her over my house with my husband and children where it's healthy and alive. Because we would feel like, ooh, she feels like a needle in a haystack. And then she would feel like, I have nothing to talk about with you guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That interchange. So that's something, especially with my adrenal fatigue, that I have to be hyper aware of, is who am I letting into my life? What's the example you give me? If I have $100 a day.
Yeah. I don't know where I heard it, but if you have $100 a day.
Energetically. Money.
Yeah. And every time you speak or engage with a person, you give them $10. At the end of the day, when you're broke, you have nothing left, are you happy about where your money went?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you wish you could have a $10 bill back so you could give it elsewhere?
Right. And that made me not cut people off, but just not respond to the text messages. And I used to think, am I ghosting people? But
no.
I don't think I am. I think I'm just protecting my energy. And these people should know. If someone doesn't respond to me, I never get triggered. I never feel any type of way, because I just have this all-encompassing understanding that people have their own lives. They've got kids,
yeah.
partners, social media, their family stuff, their work stuff. They're busy. And if they're energetically overwhelmed, they'll get to me when they get to me. If they don't, we're just not an energetic mash up.
Yeah.
Right now. And that's totally okay. And I think I never get triggered by those things because I'm so fulfilled in every other area of my life that if I hit up a quote-unquote friend and they don't respond, it's like, oh, they're busy. We'll link up. If the universe wants us to be best friends one day, we'll definitely hit each other when our vibes are the same. No drama llama. But I have people who are like, you never respond. Oh, that's Steph, never responds. And it's like, I just can't. It is so bizarre how many people reach out, text me, and never once ask, how's your adrenal fatigue, by the way?
Yeah.
How's your brother? Is he doing better?
Yeah.
How are you and baby Jay? How are the boys?
Yeah.
Never. Not a single question. But they will send me audio after audio of their relationships, their love life, their co-parenting. And it's like, I don't hate on them. Yeah. They're on their own journey. Hopefully one day they wake up and realize what they're doing. But I don't respond to them anymore. I can't. My adrenals won't let me.
Yeah, and you literally have, time is literally the one thing you can't get back.
Uh-huh.
You can get back emotions, you can get back money, you can get back almost everything, but you can't get back time. Like, once that minute's gone, it's gone. So if you didn't spend it wisely, there's a lot of things that deserve your time and your energy, and a lot of people that deserve your time and energy.
And so many empaths listen to this and think, like, we have people invite us over for dinner quite often. Mm-hmm. We have people say, can I come over? Can I hang out with you? Can I come spend the weekend? But most of the time we're like, maybe once. But then after that, like, we need a break, or we just don't vibe. You know, like, are we being mean? Are we being self-centered?
I think we are being rooted in who we are in this moment while we're figuring out, like, what's next for us.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, it's not my job. I may sound like I know my shit, but I don't. It's not my job to make you happy. It's my job to make me happy, because just like with the boys, if I'm happy,
they're
happy. So the things and the people that are authentic to me, if I'm happy, they're happy.
Yeah.
But if I upset you by removing myself from, you know, something, then it really wasn't authentic to me.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, I can see that. And what about people listening who are thinking, okay, I've got a big group of like, oh, I was just in a wedding and there's 12 of us bridesmaids, but who I could put on a smile so long as I have alcohol? And, you know, we've all been in those groups of friends where it's like, we're friends just so that we have something to do on 4th of July, just so that we have a friend with a boat so we can all go on the boat and drink and take pictures and post on social media. Like, I've got friends, yeah. But we go home feeling so unfulfilled because you can't talk about your sun signs with these people. You can't talk about childhood wounds. Hey, did you read Dr. Nicole LaPera's new book? Who the fuck is that? You know? So there's people right now listening who are like, oh, man, I wish I had friends like them. But we have this analogy we use over here called clearing your table. Right now, if you have a big table, long, full of friends, quote unquote, they're taking up the seats and the spaces for the right people who leave you feeling energetic and alive. Believe it or not, you can actually leave people and feel more energetic, not drained, my empaths. You have to remove those people from those seats in order for the right ones to walk by, look at your table, seems inviting, and sit down.
Yeah.
So what advice, I mean, the universe kind of worked on your behalf when you had the infidelity in your marriage and it just kind of burned every wrong person to the ground.
Yeah, mine was like...
But how would you advise people who want to get out of a big group of fake friends to go be their authentic selves?
Go cheat and see who shows up. No, I'm just kidding.
You still
kidding.
Have people from Texas who were like, what are you wearing when you're wearing Birkenstock sandals? Or
yeah, I still had people that I didn't even know, like, followed me on Instagram who would send me messages or text me and be like, why are you dressing like this?
Why are you
what the hell are
like
you,
that?
Like, traveling here for?
Yeah.
Why are you posing like this in Sedona?
Who takes your pictures?
Yeah, it's like, wow, they're not at my table, but, like, I got to really get them away from my building.
Uh-huh.
Like,
because they're hitting it with a baseball bat.
I'm learning with everyone listening. I'm learning how to. So right now, like, if I think of my table of friends, you know, let's say I have a table with 10 chairs. I may have two people sitting at the table. As where before I did, I had a full table. But whenever I went through my infidelity, it's like, it's almost like every person's, like, somebody stood behind them with a sign. As this all happened and was like, hey, this person right here at this chair is talking bad about you. They lie to you and they're cheating on you, blah, 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 blah. Like, and it's like around this whole table they went. And all the qualities that I don't want in friends were exposed. So it was like the greatest thing ever that could have ever happened to me, even though it was very lonely. And I'm not surrounded by tons of like close friends right now. So I'm learning with everyone else who's learning. But I do know that I'm rooted enough in knowing who I want at my table. And if they don't embody those things or they don't have those qualities that I'm myself trying to embody, then I can't have you at my table. I can't have somebody at my table who is a liar and is cheating constantly because I can't, there's no way I could be these higher qualities when I'm surrounded by things and people like that. Yeah. So
it is so important to surround yourself with people who uplift you or who are, we always have this saying over here as well, that we don't take advice from people who aren't living the life we want. Now, there's many different categories to this. You're never going to find this magical unicorn person who is picture perfect in every facet of life. We're human. But don't take relationship advice from your mom if she's not in a successful, happy, healthy marriage or partnership. Don't take career advice from your dad if he's been working the same 9 to 5 and complains about it all the time and is about to retire at that same job. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, I just, there's like so many qualities that I'm navigating, and I think everyone should navigate whenever you're letting people sit at your table. Because, like that, like I'm not going to take advice from somebody who is not living that quality that I'm trying to embody. Somebody doesn't have to be a multimillionaire, but if they are fucking honest and a good-hearted person and they do kind things for people, like I think of Darren Olean. He's not filthy rich, could be, but the dude is disciplined. He is happy, and he has a greater purpose in the world that he is actually carrying out and helping people. Now, does he probably have his bad qualities? I'm sure. But I take advice from somebody like that when it comes to how do I live out my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
How do I have a discipline in my routine?
Yeah.
You know, so.
100%. So I would say I've got beautiful friendships in my life. So people would definitely, their ears would perk up when I'm giving advice on friendships. And it's simple as don't settle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am totally okay. If Sarah and Paulina were, heaven forbid, die, I'm fine. I'll grieve, but I'm fine. It's okay because I've established a friendship and a relationship with myself.
Yes.
I love, you know, my therapist, when I was in my early 20s, she always told me, and this is sad, but she was like, take yourself out for lunch. Take yourself to the movies. And I was like, what? Go to the movie, like buy a ticket, buy popcorn, and go sit in a theater by myself? She just smiled and was like, yeah, that's your homework. And I was like, no, fuck no. That's so weird. Why would you do it? Go sit down, like go to the hostess, get sat down, and then order food alone. She was like, yes.
Greatest feeling ever.
It's the greatest feeling ever. And after that, I took trips by myself. I would go on week-long trips like all over the country by myself. And the funny thing is, I did this when I was married. I had never felt more not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I had never felt more loved, more seen, more connected than when I traveled by myself. Because I was never alone. I would go take myself out for breakfast and some stranger would come sit and talk to me. I don't even know their name, never talked. Oh, on one of my flights, this woman from Australia and I just talked the whole 4-hour flight. And my mom, actually, she's cleaning her attic, getting ready to move. She found the little note card that this woman wrote her name. She owns an Airbnb in Australia and said, if you ever want to come, you can stay for free just because we had a wonderful moment on that flight. She was like, do you still want this? I was like, yes, save it. I'm going to find her. But it's things like that. So be okay. Step one, be okay with being alone. Love yourself. Love your own company. Genuinely. Don't just do it because a podcast or a book told you to. I mean genuinely love being alone. And be careful with that because it can get really addicting and you could really push people out. But then go do things you love.
I wish I could take credit for this, but I keep looking at this card and it makes me think of this. So it says, healing starts at the gentle touch of our hands. A loving heart, and an absence of judgment from our mind. So that means you have to move people away from you who are creating judgment, then do so.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another quality that you don't want around you. And that's That's another quality of a really good friend, is somebody who has no judgment, wants to help you grow, and provides a safe space.
Yeah. You know, it is really hard for people to push familiar faces away because, just primally speaking, humans were bred and created to have community. You've heard that saying. When you have children, it takes a village. Oh, like, think of celebrities. Oh, it takes a village to get this hair and this makeup. There's that, this saying applies to so many things in life. It takes a village because we are meant to be community-oriented mammals. So when you don't have any friends, when you don't have a romantic partner, being alone, your survival instincts that are ingrained into your human DNA are going off and saying, no, 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 like, keep bodies around you, because that indicates survival. So when you are alone, you literally have a primal DNA string going, you're going to die, you're going to die. Who's going to hunt? Who's going to gather? Who's going to build the fire? Who's going to build the teepee? Like,
you go from you go from a wolf pack to a jaguar.
Yes, and we are not programmed to be lone mammals. So that's something I always had in the back of my mind too. I would hold on to people that did not give me energy.
I know that when I look at my story so far, I would imagine that if not for the woman that came across my path that led to the infidelity, I wouldn't have... I hope if she listens to this, fuck, she can have a bunch of gratitude, because I think the universe saw me not strong enough to be able to push these people away from my table.
I know.
On my own.
They didn't. The universe, primal instinct.
Yeah, the universe didn't see me being able to be strong enough to get up and walk away from my relationship that was toxic. And so I thank the universe every day, because she came into the picture. Everything shattered. She was like a hurricane but like you've said in the past, like, it was like this most beautiful sunlight and sunrise and sunset after this hurricane passed, because it wiped away this shitty foundation of a life that I thought I had, and I got a clear foundation to start building upon after that.
She's one of your earth angels. Yeah, for sure.
Friends, love, in every aspect of my life. So, like, people who would say, like, well, I'm not strong enough to do what y'all are talking about. I wasn't either. The universe had to throw all this shit my way and actually clear it out for me.
You are, though. And this is one thing I want to tell you. If that seed is planted in you of, I just know there's something better. I know there's better friends. I always thought it. Did you always think it in the back of your mind?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, even if it's a little glimmer in your gut of, I know there's better relationships than this. I know there's better friendships than this out there.
Yeah.
That's planted in you because you can do it. And what's the saying? The universe's whisper will turn into a roar. Yours turned into a roaring Category 5 hurricane. Mm-hmm. Mine definitely turned into a roar with my ex-marriage, but
that's the whole journey of this
with
path.
With the friendships, I will say, about 5 years into being completely alone, not doing anything social, I got to the point where I was like, okay, this is really sad and depressing, and I wish I had a friend to just go over their house on Sunday and say hi. And then along came Paulina.
Yeah, so that, like, paths are different. You pushed out people for whatever reason, and mine just got wiped away. And now you got to a point where you realize, like, all right, I need to start accepting people in my life. Mm-hmm. And then I got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm going to start filtering who comes into my life. Like, so it's...
And honestly, I think the universe isolates us. Mm-hmm. Intentionally. Yeah. I think that the seed of, I don't want anybody, like the bullying, I know that everything is so connected. The bullying, like, why did that happen to me? How did I make it? I think it happened to me because I needed to have distrust for people and not trust them, because I needed to be isolated, because I was a people pleaser. I was a sad teenager and young 20-something. Anybody that walked in the room, I was like, what's up, bestie, let's go. Without even analyzing, now that I'm more Scorpio, analyzing their energy. Is it a two-way street? Are they going to use me? Are they? Yeah. Now I do that and I have these beautiful friendships, but I most definitely needed to be isolated for a minimum of 5 years to go through my dark night of the soul, to really be alone with myself and look at my wounds, look at what was causing the subconscious patterns of attracting the wrong person, staying with the wrong person, of not having friends. And I think right now I can see, even though you have me, you're still kind of growing through that. I think if you just jumped into a new group of friends that was like Texas 2.0, it would just repeat itself over and over. So you're kind of being isolated right now to grow because you're like me. We're very influenced by other energies.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm just not going to put up with shit. I'm not.
That's smart. I always say like, oh, come on. You got to let people in. But no. There's a piece of me that's like, oh, he's kind of smart.
You can tell who you should let in and they still may disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also like tell who you should not let in.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's one thing I enjoy about growing up and being in your 30s, but also attracting spiritual people, is that even when I meet spiritual people, maybe I call these shooting star friends. They're people that come in hot and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, we're best friends, and you talk every day. And then all of a sudden you guys don't really respond to each other's texts, and then you just kind of fade away. You still follow each other. You still encourage each other on social media. Still love each other. Yeah. But you're not going to hang out in person. You're not going to send audios every day. These are the shooting star friends. They're people that really come in for a message or a feeling or more growth opportunities, and then they leave.
Yeah.
They're not forever people. They're people that come to your table, share an appetizer with you, and then they excuse themselves and they keep going.
Yep.
They're not there to plant a garden with you, to keep food coming back and mm-hmm. regrowing it and tending to it. And that's okay. And I don't know if it's maturity or spirituality, combination of both, but I've met so many cool people who it's like we were super close for a month or three and now we're not. And it's all good. I always wish you the best. These people exist.
Yeah.
It's good karma.
Yep.
Well, call time.
Yep.
I did not think this would go that long. We should have known better with us. Virgo, Sagittarius, Beyonce, Jay-Z.
If you just kept a rolling microphone on us.
Yeah, these are our dinner conversations. Yeah. So thank you, Baby Jay, for bravely coming on here and sharing more of your life. I have to go read a birth chart.
I'm going for a bike ride.
Okay. Oh, we're doing individual things.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful thing at that.
I'll miss you while I'm on it, though.
I'll just be waiting, looking out the window for you to come home. Best friends, that's us.
Always.
Always and forever. Always and always. Okay, we'll see you guys on Instagram. At Lightworkers Lounge, at Stephanie's_Destiny. We have a lot of cool guests I just booked today coming on the show, coming up. And we're almost to 1 million downloads.
Throwing a party.
Yeah, right. We should make a funny video of what most people do when they get 1 million downloads. Woo, party champagne. What I do, and it'll just be me on the hammock eating popcorn.
Popcorn. Yeah, with the balloons above you.
No balloons at all. Balloons. You'll come in and be like, babe, you hit 1 million. And I'll just be like, cool.
Yeah.
Clearly, nice. Don't care. I don't do this for numbers.
I care.
I bet you do, Virgo.
I can't wait to buy balloons.
Please don't.
That's a lot of zeros.
Just don't. I don't want balloons.
Be ready.
Invite people over and they all have to bring a dish.
One balloon.
No, they bring food. I'm a Taurus. Popcorn, ice cream, vegan ice cream.
I'll end up fat. I'm a Cancer.
Just a party where everybody has to wear headphones and listen to peaceful music.
You're a Sag. You mean somebody should walk in with a sub and some
bass preferred.
Yeah. Playing Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
Okay.
It depends on the day. Some days I'm that, but most of the time I'm Taurus now. Remember, you have your first sign of return, and then you embody your rising sign. I'm a freaking Taurus now.
You are literally
Sag
the song.
Was 0 to 30.
Classy, bougie.
Classy, bougie, ratchet. I'm a savage.
Yes, you are.
Sag will always be there, but you gotta admit, I'm much more Taurus now.
Yes, you are.
As are you. I think you're less a Virgo and you're more Cancer.
Mm.
Virgo wanted to have businesses for money, money, money.
Yeah.
So that they could give it away and take care of people. Cancer says, nah, I'll still be the best at business, but I'm refined to where I only do business if it is emotionally affecting
true.
People.
True. Yes. Yep.
Wow. Right. I should like be an astrologer.
You should have a podcast or something.
I know.
<That works. laughs>